Yeah, I was a hospital corpsman, first class, attached to the Naval Medical School at the National Medical Center. And on that particular day, I happened to be the chief of the day for the Naval Medical School. And when they brought president's body back, it was brought to Bethesda, and since the morgue fell under the jurisdiction of our command, I was the one who received the body at about 20 minutes to 6 that night.
Do you remember what sort of a coffin it was in?
A shipping coffin,
because that wasn't what the president's body was laid in when it left Parkland Hospital. It was in a very nice coffin, but this was more or less just a shipping coffin,
yeah.
And of course it had been brought at gunpoint, taken from Parkland Hospital, brought it where they pulled their guns, and they said, you can't do an autopsy here, this will have to be done in Bethesda, and of course they put the body into a plane, and they flew it to Bethesda, and miraculously there's a different type of coffin there. So then what happened? You were there in charge when, of course, the body arrived, and what happened at that point?
Well, as I said, it was about 20 minutes till, and this black hearse backs up to the jetty, and we took this, I had six men with me, and they picked the casket up. There were about five or six guys in suits got out of the back of the hearse, and the driver and his assistant got out of the front, and they opened the hearse, they pushed the casket out onto the jetty, and my men picked it up and carried it into the hallway and then into the ante room immediately outside the morgue, and they set it down there, and after they had done that, they came out. I told them to go back to whatever they'd been doing or wherever they'd been assigned, and I started back up front. While I was there, I had talked with the driver, and he noted or commented, I don't know exactly how it came up, but said they'd come up 16th Street and come in through Jones Bridge Road and come in, which would have been the back entrance of the Naval Medical Center.
All right. Now, is this associated with Bethesda?
Yes. This is all Bethesda.
All right, fine. So then, of course, the body is taken to the morgue, and, of course, then they brought in the physicians, the pathologists, to do the autopsy?
Right. Most of them were already there at that time, but I don't know whether they were inside the morgue or where. I did not see them when I received the shipping casket. Later on that night, when I would make rounds, I would see some of the brass that was there that night.
All right. Were you there when they actually did the autopsy on the president?
No, I was never in the autopsy room itself.
All right, fine. But there was a lieutenant, was his name Prichter, who was actually there taking pictures? What was his name?
Well, Lieutenant Commander Pitzer, I don't know whether he was ever in there either. I really don't know. I do know that on the Saturday after, on the Monday after the autopsy, I had stopped by his office to talk to him about something else. And he was looking at a 16-millimeter film and some black and white and color photos of the autopsy of the president.
I know this was a 16-millimeter motion picture. Oh,
yes.
We're going to be right back here in just a moment. All right, fine. Well, we are going to have to introduce you to our new listeners. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dennis David. And, of course, we're talking about what happened in November of 1963. Dennis was actually there at the Bethesda Hospital, Naval Hospital, when the President of the United States was brought in. And he is going to be autopsied there. And, of course, he was one of the officials there, one of the people in charge of some of the things that were happening. And so it was, a couple of days later when you go into Lieutenant Commander Pritchard's office?
Yes.
All right, fine. And so is this a motion picture that he has, 16-millimeter?
Yes, it was a 16-millimeter film.
So they've actually filmed the autopsy, and then he has black and white films. And so what, of course, was unusual about those films?
They did not show... Pictures that I saw did not show the extensive head wound that has come out later in the books and everything. our impression, Bill's impression and my impression when we saw what we were looking at, was that there was a frontal entry wound in the right front, just at the hairline above the right eye, and that the exit wound was in the parietal occipital area, and was, and it, as I recall, it, what I saw was the exit wound in the back of the head was about half or maybe two-thirds of the size of what has been in all the other books, what later came out in the Warren Commission report, et cetera.
All right, Chris. Now, of course, they had, of course, to convince the American people it was the lone assassin, it was Oswald. He was shooting from behind, but, of course, if the entrance wound was over the adjacent to the right eye and came out the back of the left head, then everything the American people have been told really is a lie, and we're going to get back to this in just a few minutes. Dennis has been really not speaking publicly for many years because he feared for his life. We'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, you have to understand that there were over 109 people who knew something about the murder of President Kennedy, who ended up dying under very strange circumstances. We have a book called JFK, The Dead Witnesses, and it goes into the background of that. It's written by our good friend Craig Roberts, who some years later tried to track down the witnesses and found that so many of them had died under very, very, very strange circumstances. And of course, so then, of course, if you get the book we carry entitled Regicide, and this book was actually written based upon the papers of Mr. Robert Crowley, who was Deputy Assistant Director of Clandestine Operations for the CIA. And that's a nice name, Clandestine Operations, meaning CIA assassinations. In the book, he explains why the CIA felt it was important to kill the president, how they killed the president, who killed the president. These are his personal papers that were left to Mr. Douglas, the author of the book, when Mr. Crowley died. Douglas and Crowley had become very good friends, as Crowley, of course, wanted somebody to talk to about what was going on. And he was quite open in his admission, of course, that the CIA had killed the president because they felt he was a traitor to the country. When you understand the background, I think you'll realize that they were mistaken. But, of course, they made the decision that he would die and he was killed. But then, of course, you can't let the American people know that because, of course, the lives of the culprits would be involved. And, of course, the FBI was cooperating and many of the key people in government were cooperating. It was a great, great cover-up. And those people who might, of course, speak out would end up with, you were concerned for your own safety, weren't you, Dennis?
Yes. At the time of the assassination, I was 26 and had two children. And there were so many people who died under, as you put it, mysterious or unusual or rather strange circumstances. And also, we had been advised that anything we saw did it was classified, and that released from that didn't come until 1975.
All right. Well, now, of course, we have an interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was a resident at Parkland Hospital at the day they brought the president in. And for 20 years, of course, he was told that day, you will not tell anything that you've seen, or you will, of course, your medical career, your surgical career will be end with that. And so for 20, 25 years, he'd never mentioned what he saw. And then in the early 1990s, he wrote a book about what he had seen. He was immediately attacked by the Journal of the American Medical Association and called a fraud and a liar and demonized, as they always do with anybody who tells the truth. And I'm including the American Medical Association being part of the problem, at least certain people within that organization. Dr. Crenshaw launched a countersuit for defamation. He said he wanted to take it to trial, and they paid him $225,000, saying, well, we know we're right, but we're going to give him the money because it would cost us more to go to court. Well, you know very well that they didn't want this to go to court. But if you can hear that interview with Dr. Crenshaw there and our four tape set on the Kennedy assassination, a fascinating insight into what happened, and of course his view of what happened is very, very similar to what we're hearing today. Did you see, was there any evidence of a wound in the throat at the time?
Yes. Yeah, there was a throat wound, and it appeared that at first we thought it looked like it was a rather sloppy attempt to put a tube into the throat because the incision was extremely, unusually wide or long, and both Bill and I, being hospital corpsmen, he was being an ex-corpsman, knew it just didn't look the way it. Later on, through other sources, we found that there looks like there could have been an entry wound in that throat, too.
All right, and that's, I think, that what most people have finally decided. Of course, there were a number of shots that came from the front, which mean that Lee Harvey Oswald could not have done this if he was shooting from behind. This isn't to say there weren't some shots from behind, but there were multiple shots at that time because if they were determined that the president would die that day. And then, of course, we have a friend of ours, we've come to know him very well, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, and I know you know him as well.
Yes.
He was actually asked by the CIA to kill the lieutenant commander that you met that day. Why don't you pick up the story of what happened to the lieutenant commander?
Well, the last time that I saw Bill was the first week of December of 65, when I was sworn in as an ensign in the Medical Service Corps. And he, he congratulated me, kind of hugged me and said, well, shipmate, says, this will probably be the last time we'll be together. He said, I'm going to be retiring, or hope to retire next year, and I've had some pretty lucrative offers from some major media. And then the next time I heard anything about him, heard that he had died. And then in January of 67, I was at Great Lakes Naval Hospital when a mutual friend reported aboard from Bethesda, and she told me the circumstances of Bill's death, and says, that just doesn't sound kosher.
Yeah. All right, well, how was he supposed to have died? Now, for our listeners, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin, of course, was with the Special Forces, and these people are trained to kill. I mean, that's what they do, trained for. And he, of course, was approached on several occasions for assassination. He was to kill people overseas, and I'm sure he did some of this. This was his job. After all, he was killing for our government. But when he was asked to kill a naval officer in the United States, he declined that. And, of course, shortly thereafter, the Lieutenant Commander William Pritchard died under very strange circumstances. How did he die?
Supposedly, from a gunshot wound, self-sustained gunshot wound to the head. At first, I recalled him being left-handed, and when the way that the first circumstance I heard, it didn't ring because I had thought he was left-handed. But since then, I've gotten copies of the autopsy report, and also of what the scene was like, and if anybody has any knowledge of forensic pathology or investigation would look at those, it would lead the conclusion that it was a suicide to be highly suspect. Also, one of his hands was mutilated, as I understand from the, that they couldn't even take his wedding ring off of his hand. And I know that Joyce, his wife, was told that by some government agents that she should not talk to anybody or anyone about it. And the last time I talked with Joyce was about 4 years ago when she said, Denny, she says, I just don't want to have anything. She says, I'm 84 years old. I'm tired. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want people calling me anymore.
All right, fine. Well, of course, after you found about now, what had happened to Lieutenant Commander Pritchard, you decided you better keep quiet yourself. You were worried for your own life.
Well, yes, that and, the other unusual circumstances which occurred.
What other unusual circumstances?
Well, other people, like Mrs. Gallagher, the news columnist.
Oh, you mean Dorothy Kilgallagher.
Right. There were other names And I had read excerpts or read reports of where people who were associated or affiliated in some way with the assassination in Dallas suddenly died in unusual car accidents.
Lee Harvey Oswald. They're just right there in the police station. Some fellow walks right up to him and shoots him. And then, of course, Jack Ruby is arrested and he's going to be tried. And of course, he offers to tell the truth about what it was all about. And he suddenly develops a fulminant cancer. And just within a few days, he is dead. Isn't it just such a strange series of coincidences?
There was too many incidents like that. And then it wasn't until the first time I ever talked to anybody outside of my wife, and we didn't talk about it. We did just not discuss it very often. Was in 1974 when I was at Great Lakes I saw a report in a local paper where a group from Pennsylvania had given a seminar or something at Lake County Community College, and it was so full of BS and erroneous information, it made me mad. I called the reporter and said, how do I get in touch with them? He asked me why, and I said, because they don't know what in the hell they're talking about. And he got a little belligerent. He said, well, how do you know? And I said, because I was there. And he immediately, said, hey, can we get together? And I says, no. I says, I'm still on active duty, and I'm still subject to classification, to being classified material. But then we talked, and he says, I can guarantee anonymity, not use your name or anything. So I talked with him, and he published it in the Waukegan Sun, an interview with a Waukegan or with a Lake County resident. That's as close he came to identifying me. That subsequently ended up in David Lipton's hands, who was writing a book, which came out in 1980. And in late 79, David had contacted me through the News Gazette report or the Waukegan Sun reporter. And David then flew out here at my home, and from information that I gave him, he traced down Paul O'Connor and Jim Jenkins, who were the two techs that assisted Boswell and Humes, traced down Floyd Reby, who was the photography tech, and Gerald Custer, who was the x-ray technician. And that's when things began to come together for his book.
Of course, but the thing is, of course, that they cannot let the American people know the truth. Because if they were able to do this and kill an American president and cover it up this time and had all these books written just to confuse people, because a lot of the books are specifically written so that there'd be so much information, you get information overload, you can't figure out what it's all about. And then, of course, people shrug their shoulders and say, well, I'm not going to be involved. They know how to control our minds. They know how to manipulate us. They're masters of deceit. We'll be back here in just a few moments with our special guest, and welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Our 14th set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamax isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Arthur Stan, and we just want to mention the Berkey Waterfellers. You know, if there were problems in America, and I can tell you that I've been studying this for 41 years, I'm firmly convinced that we are going to see terrible, terribly difficult times in America here with biological warfare and nuclear warfare, and right now Russia is in full production for nuclear war, and we're specifically not building any sort of a defense for America. You're being told, oh, well, we're putting in a ballistic missile system. Well, they've got 7,000 warheads. We're going to have about 20 warheads to counter that. And this is being done intentionally because behind everything going on is the spirits of battle, and I feel we're going to see God's wrath on America. What can we do? Well, we can pray, but even more than that, we have an obligation to do our best to protect ourselves and our family. You need to have a water filter of some sort. There's the Big Berkey, been used for almost 150 years by missionaries. It's a stainless steel filter. It's 25 gallons of pond, lake, or river water, and it'll give you safe drinking water. And of course, they're ordinarily cost $279. They're $239 from Radio Liberty plus shipping. And of course, if you buy it through us, you get a 4-tape set, or you get a video that we've produced. The Big Berkey is an excellent buy with ceramic filters that can be re-cleaned over and over again, but it's available in all states but California and in Iowa. If you want something that can be used in California as well, that's the Berkey Light. It's instead of being stainless steel, it's clear. They have a different type of filters which really purify the water, and of course you can get a special post filters to put on there that'll take out the fluoride and certainly the arsenic and other things. But of course, if you're interested in getting these a Berkey Light, which is available in every state but Iowa, it's $199. You can see them on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dennis David. And, of course, he was in the military. How long were you in the military, Dennis?
22 years total.
Okay, and what was your rank when you resigned?
Well, I retired in 1976. I was a lieutenant commander, 04.
Okay, so you went up to the ranks from an enlisted man, right, to lieutenant commander?
Yes, sir.
All right, fine. And, of course, so you kept your silence. You really didn't come out and tell anybody what this was about. When did you finally decide that you were going to come forward, that the time had come for the American people to hear the truth?
Well, in 79, when David Lifton called me, after he traced me down from the news article, I agreed then to let him use my name, and we talked, and I tried to give him some other names that the best I could remember that were there, Bethesda, and he said, "Well, I'll call you back in a few days." I guess it was 2-3 weeks later he called back, and he said that he was able to corroborate about 99% of what I had told him. The only thing he couldn't corroborate was the about Bill Pitzer, because it was they had no knowledge of that. But the arrival of the body in a shipping casket, and the body coming being at Bethesda before the official before he came in almost an hour before Mrs. Kennedy, and the official arrival of, I should say, because I was up front watching. That's the gray ambulance that was supposedly carrying the body of the president when it came into Bethesda. And it wasn't until the next night, on Saturday evening, I'm at home watching TV when I saw the famous picture about the big, the ornamental casket being offloaded Fort Andrews Air Force Base. And I told my wife, I said, "That's not the body we received the president in." And I told Bill about or I told David Lipton about that night about 11 o'clock that I typed up a memorandum that described four pieces of lead being removed from the head of the president during the autopsy. And to my knowledge, that memorandum that I typed for a government agent at his dictation, I don't think it has ever seen the light of day. And then about 1993, 94, I don't remember the exact dates, I was in Pittsburgh along with Paul O'Connor, Jim Jenkins, Joel Custer, and Floyd Reby. And when I mentioned, we talked about that memorandum, Gerald Custer, who was the x-ray, all of a sudden, oh my God, he said, the day later, he says, I was given four pieces, or given some skull fragments, bone skull fragments, with four pieces of lead taped to them, and told to take x-rays of them. And he said, when I asked, what's going on, I was told to do as I was told and keep my mouth shut.
All right, what do you think that was all about then?
I have the foggiest idea, unless it was for some way they were trying to falsify documents or try to make some kind of a forensic determination. I have the foggiest idea why they would have done it.
All right. Well, of course, now what was the official story was, of course, he was shot, through the back. There were two shots. One was through the back, and then, of course, the second shot was through the head, and then one shot supposedly hit the curb. Of course, there were many more shots than that. The shot was not from the back, it was from the front. It was meant that Lee Harvey Oswald couldn't have done it. But he was set up as a patsy, and then, of course, immediately killed so that he could never tell the truth and bring out this whole incredible scam that had been planned for such a long period of time. So, it's incredible how ingenious these CIA operations are. And then the confusion that comes out and the threats and the intimidation. And when did you actually read or run into Colonel Marvin, who, of course, had been asked by the Central Intelligence Agency to kill the lieutenant commander who had the pictures?
In 95, after the a kid named Rick Russo had set up that organization, the meeting for us in Pittsburgh, and then about a year later, he called me one evening. He was in Chicago for another JFK meeting, about JFK, and he called me and he said, asked me, he says, are you sitting down? I said, yeah, why? He said, well, he told me what he'd been doing. He says, after the meeting, I came out, and some gentleman, who I do not know who it was, asked Rick if he'd ever heard of William Pitcher. And Rick said, Benny said, Bill's name didn't even come up at the meeting that they were at. After he told him he did, he said, well, I know who killed him. And then...
We're gonna hold that till we get back here.
Okay.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me suggest, of course, that you can get our four-tape set on the secret government. You can get our four-tape set on secret societies, and it actually will include that tape that we just talked about, the talk I'd given before Concerned Women of America. Back in Washington, D.C., the day before I spoke, there were two or three presidential candidates, all members of the Council on Foreign Relations, who, of course, were addressing the same group. And so we have, of course, Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where Bill Clinton's mentor lays out the whole story of the secret society. That's Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. The book was suppressed for many years. It is available now. You can get it by itself, or you can get the special with the interview with Professor Quigley, where he tells about how his book was suppressed and the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which has been suppressed for so many years. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Tragedy and Hope special. And then let me simply mention that we carry something called Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a game that will teach your children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's a wonderful means of educating children. And, of course, they have been deliberately dumbed down. And even many of the older people who are victims of a schooling that never taught them the principles of phonetics, they've been dumbed down as well. So if you'd like to, of course, get a Phonopoly set, and most of these games are $300, $400, $500, $600. Some of them even go up to $1,000 by the time you get to the second or third stage. Everything you need to know is in Phonopoly. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and, of course, 2 books we throw in for $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this evening is retired Lieutenant Commander Dennis David, and for many years he, of course, was not allowed to speak out, and of course he was concerned about his life. So many people who knew about what had happened to President Kennedy there in November of 1963 were killed. And they were killed in an organized manner, of course, always looking like a suicide or an accident. We couldn't let the American people know the truth about the coup d'etat that took place that brought Lyndon Johnson to power. And then, of course, he brought in the Great Society. The socialization of America brought us into the Vietnam War as a distraction so that America could be transformed, so the Supreme Court could find a woman's right to abortion, they could take God and prayer out of our schools, they could centralize all power in Washington, D.C., they could change our immigration status so that we would begin moving towards a multicultural society, so we would have the problems that we face today. All this long-range planning, because behind everything going on is not only human intelligence, but supernatural intelligence that energizes these people who have given their allegiance to the dark side. Well, Dennis, of course, you were saying that, of course, after this meeting, and somebody brought up the name of Lieutenant Commander Pritchard. So is it Pritchard? Is that his name?
Pritchard.
Pritzer.
P-I-T-Z-E-R.
Okay, Pritzer. So, Lieutenant Commander Pritzer, and they're asking about him, and of course, you remembered him very well, because he was the one who showed you the pictures of the autopsy that, of course, were entirely different than the American people were told, or the Warren Commission was told.
Right.
So, what happened at that time? Is that how you got in touch with Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Marvin,
well,
who was asked actually to kill Pritzer by the CIA?
Yes, Rick, when Rick Russo told me, then he gave me Colonel Dan Marvin's phone number, and I talked with Dan a couple of times on the phone, and then my wife and I drove out to his home in New York, and I visited with him for a couple, 3 hours or more, and, you know, went eyeball to eyeball with him, and he told me that in the summer of 66, he'd been contacted by the CIA and asked if he would do a job for them, and he told them, you know, what was it when they told him it was they want him to assassinate a naval officer who was a traitor, and they told him it was Lieutenant Commander William Bruce Pitcher, who was currently at Bethesda, and Bill or Dan said, I turned the job down. He says, I told him no, because his contracts for prior assassinations he'd done had always been, and the CIA were to be done outside of the United States. You know, they would not do anything for him. They did not do operations for him within the United States. And he said, so I turned it down. And he said, and then the man went over and talked to another officer that he called out of the class. And he says, now whether the other man was given the same offer and what he did, he didn't, Dan did not know. But we do know that Bill Pritzer was killed in October of that year, supposedly committed suicide, which I don't believe and never have believed.
All right, fine. And I've talked to at least three assassins hired by the CIA. One of them was Chip Tatum. We have interviews with him. His job was to kill Ross Perot. He turned that down. Boy, did he get into trouble. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ross Perot was running for the presidency, I guess it was back about 1992. And, of course, he was creating problems for the former head of the CIA, a man named George Herbert Walker Bush. And then, of course, L.D. Brown, a state trooper, I've talked to him. He had, of course, had worked in the series of guards. He'd worked in the state house in Arkansas for Bill Clinton and eventually was recruited by the CIA to kill a drug pusher, a drug smuggler, turned out to be an American. In fact, it turned out to be a man named Terry Reed, who wrote the book Compromised, Bush Clinton and the MENA Airport Scandal. And, of course, it doesn't pay to write a letter critical of George Herbert Walker Bush. And, of course, L.D. Brown, they broke into his house, stole most of the books. And, of course, I guess they eventually gave him an offer he couldn't refuse, because when I talked to him, although he'd made a number of statements about this, and you'll find the story I've just told you in The Secret Life of Bill Clinton by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, L.D. Brown said, look, I can't come on your radio program. I'd like to, but I've got to get on with my life. So whether they paid him off or whether they simply told him, as they told Jack Ruby, that we'll torture you to death and torture your family to death if you don't do what we say. Of course, that was the mafia, but remember, the mafia and the CIA worked closely together. And, of course, the documentation on that is a book we carry called Double Cross. It's written by the godson of Sam Giancano and by his brother, Chuck Giancano. Fascinating book, but, of course, you're not going to hear about this on 60 Minutes, the book Double Cross, telling why Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald there in the police station, knowing full well he'd get caught. But that was better than having his family tortured to death and being tortured to death himself. And maybe he thought somehow he was going to get out. Well, he did get out, but he didn't get out alive. So this is, unfortunately, the way things go on. And I'm sure, David, it must be very, Dennis, I'm sure it must be very disillusioning sometimes when you look back at what's happened to realize that the American people have no idea of the reality of the degree of evil that exists within certain of our government agencies.
Oh, yeah, that I've run into that on occasion when I give talks to schools and to men's and women's groups, fraternal groups, community groups. I talk about it. I always, I frequently have people who, from their questions, obviously either don't want to believe or can't believe that a government official would do anything like assassination to gain power.
And yet, of course, it's as old as time. I mean, look what happened to Julius Caesar. People say conspiracy. Well, there was a conspiracy to kill Julius Caesar. There was a conspiracy to crucify Christ. And, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees conspired among themselves to have him killed. Conspiracies are as old as time. And the people who spoof at that idea today are people who have never read the history, have never read the Bible. Because there's always been a conspiracy against God, and that's laid out in Jeremiah 11:9 and Ezekiel 22:25. But of course, it's never taught in our churches because we want to keep the good people from realizing the true extent of this spiritual battle in which we're engaged. Well, now, of course, it's certainly, I think that a lot of people know that something is wrong with the story of the Kennedy assassination, but you've probably realized that they've actually put out so many books to confuse people so that they really can't think clearly about what happened that day.
That's very true. There's, I know of at least four or five websites of different people who discuss the conspiracy and, I have no idea how many books have ever been put out about it, and there's more coming out. all the time.
Oh, there's well over 100 books, and right. and some of them are written by sincere people trying to get to the bottom, and some of them are written by government agents and paid disinformation experts to confuse the issue so the American people certainly won't understand. And, of course, those are the books that are written up in the New York Times and the Washington Post, yes, even the Wall Street Journal and the Reader's Digest, as these are authoritative. You can depend on this. This is the real information. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We'd certainly love to hear from you if you have any question for Dennis David, who, of course, has been privy to an unusual experience. And so you wonder sort of why God picks certain people to get certain information. And, of course, your story is so important to an understanding of what's going on today. Well, we've got Ben calling from Salinas, and so if you'll just screen Ben on over here. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. I'd like to thank you, Dr. Stern, once again for a wonderful show, and on the Christian channel where it belongs, where those of us that seek the truth deserve the truth, don't we, sir?
Amen.
Okay, now, it is my conclusion as one American, the CIA is responsible directly for the death of Mr. JFK, the one really truthful president we had in this year. I remember I graduated with his words in my ear, what you can do for your country, not what you can do for you. I still live by those rules. I want the truth to come out, but the people that are responsible for the coup for JFK's death are the same body of people who are responsible for the sacrificing on 9/11 of 3,000 souls on the altar of the New World Order. And we need to know what's going on with Cheney's Energy Commission. Is that part of the underground plan? And that secret body of Rumsfeld that meets in the basement of the Pentagon. You know, if we don't deal with this thing that's trying to deal with our Constitution and our human rights, you know, we may not survive this onslaught of Cheney, Ashcroft, Bush, and Rumsfeld. And I'd like to thank your guest there, sir. And we deserve to know what happened to Mr. Kennedy, our president, sir, and all of these other good Americans, and the 3,000 that died, and the blood of our service people in Iraq is directly on the hands of Mr. Bush and his daddy. Don't we deserve to know the truth, sir? I pray to God we do, sir. And let's support Dr. Stan and his show and guests like you. And I've said enough. I'll let other people talk.
God bless you. Thanks so much. Right, bye-bye. And, of course, it's, certainly there's a whole different story as far as what happened on 9/11. And we don't want to get off into that today. But we have some fascinating programs. And those of you who did not hear my program, Tom Flocko, we'll be having him on our programs again. We had him actually our 3 to 4 program. I'll try to get him onto this hour. Tom has done a wonderful job in analyzing 9/11, but we can only cover so much in 1 hour, and that's not our guest's field of expertise. Our guest is Dennis David, and of course he actually saw the pictures of the autopsy that were taken on there at Bethesda Naval Hospital. Do we know whatever happened to those pictures? Did they sort of disappear, along with so many of the other people who witnessed what was going on?
Well, they've never seen a light of day, as far as I know. The office, when Bill's body was found, there was paper scattered all over the place, and it had the appearance of having been ransacked or burglarized.
Well, do you think that he'd kept copies of these pictures, or what?
I would. My opinion would be that he had kept copies. He would have had them. He would have been, because Bill was a very meticulous, a very precise individual when it came to his job.
Right, of course. Now, what was his official job there at Bethesda?
He was head of the audiovisual department at the time.
Okay, fine. So he would have been then supervising the motion pictures that were taken, and, of course, the one thing they could not allow would be for there to be any definite evidence left, or anybody, of course, who knew what had happened, who would be willing to speak publicly. And that's why everybody was threatened. That's why so many of the people who witnessed the assassination that day were told by the FBI, You didn't see what you saw. You just think you saw what you saw. Now, here's what you really saw. And, of course, the same a pattern over and over and over again has been utilized, of course, to silence those who wanted to speak out. And then those who did speak out, they either, of course, were demonized or vilified, or they met a strange demise. So now, what are some of the other points that you would like to bring out as far as your experiences and certainly having lived this for, well, let's see, 63, it's 40 years now, isn't it?
40 years in November.
Right.
I have gotten together on a couple of different occasions now with the other men who were actually in the autopsy room with it, and we've talked with any number of researchers, and the information, the people who supposedly, you know, like Floyd Reby, when they talk with him, the pictures that were being publicized as from the Warren Commission at first, he felt that they had been altered. He said, these aren't exactly the ones the way they were when I had them. And Gerald Custer also, the x-rays, they had been altered. Then things of that nature, that the autopsy was skewed to try to prove or to justify the official stance that the assassination of the president was by one man acting alone and shooting from the rear, and that many of the as I said, Floyd took at night. There were like 100. Floyd told me they took approximately 135 pictures, about 40-60 black and white, and 60% black and white, 40% color. And I don't know how many of those have been made public to date. There were also 17 X-rays taken during the autopsy proceeding, and to my knowledge, only about 3 or 4 of those have ever been made public. One of the x-rays that Gerald Custer told me showed evidence of particles or something in the breastbone area, and they never, during the autopsy, apparently didn't excise that area or explore it, and things like that that were totally alien or totally disagreeing with what the Warren Commission reported stated.
Well, of course, I've heard that the wound of X that blew off part of the back of the president's head. Is there any truth to that?
The pictures I saw was a gaping hole. There was
a gaping hole in the back of the head. Then.
Yes.
All right, fine.
There was no flap. There was no flap that I saw.
Okay, fine. So I think that, of course, this definitely shows that a shot was fired from the front, but they couldn't, they had to, of course, explain that away, because, of course, if the shot was fired from the front, that means, of course, Lee Harvey Oswald couldn't do it. And the official party line was, he was the loner, he was the lone assassin, he acted all by himself. Why did he kill the president? Why, of course, maybe it was because he was pro-communist, or he was pro-Castro, and all of these things had been set up a long, long time before. Everything pointed, and for many years I believed that somehow the communists were behind this, until I suddenly began to realize who financed communism and has financed it from its inception. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have any question, you really ought to go to my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and find out who has financed communism, who's financing communism today as they prepare for an attack on America. Well, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners today, Dennis?
No, just any time that we should continue to question the officials and pray that maybe someday the truth is going to come out about what happened in November.
God bless you for having your courage to speak out. And if you don't mind, I'm going to call you and get you on some of our other programs. And so we'll talk to you later.
All right, sir.
Bye-bye, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Dennis David. I hope you've enjoyed the program. And I think you better start asking yourself, if they could lie to us about what happened there, what are they doing, and what happened today, what really happened on September 11th, 2001. We'll be right back here in just a moment. here at Radio Liberty. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. They go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, this is the time I want to remind you that Radio Liberty does carry Miracle 2 soap products, and of course, we can't make any medical claims for them, but I'll tell you, an awful lot of the people who use our products, use Miracle 2 products, are very, very happy with them, and they tell us all sorts of amazing stories. There's a soap and a moisturizing soap, there's a neutralizing solution, just a very alkaline, mineralized solution with some other specific things in it. I don't know why it helps, but it seems to. And then, of course, there is a lotion and a gel. If you'd like to, of course, order the Miracle 2 soap products, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like information on them, let me know. I've certainly used them for well over a year. My wife has as well, and we're sold on them. We think you will be, too. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we want to mention, if you're out there and you have not made preparations for the possibility that there could be some very difficult times, or the things you would need if we should see a total collapse of our system, and let's hope and pray it never happens, but if it did, what would you do? Would you look to the government to look after you? Would you go into one of their camps to be taken care of? Only look at, see what happening in Afghanistan to see how well they take care of the people. Well, let me suggest that you give us a call of 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for a ready reserve food catalog. We'll send it to you. And if you see things there that you think would be beneficial, why, we'll help you get them. That, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a ready reserve food catalog. It has lots of things beside food. It has all sorts of containers and other things, that things that you would really need if you were going to be in a difficult time. But give us a call right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course I just want to mention a couple of things. We hope that many of you out there will want to very seriously consider trying Alamax, which is a garlic product, and of course garlic has wonderful the medicinal properties. If you'd like to know about Alamax, give them a call at 866-405-4000. I've taken it for 8 or 9 months, and I certainly did very well during the winter season. Let's hope that you will as well. Alamax, 866-405-4000. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to set up a institute on the Constitution in your community to teach people about our Christian heritage. That number is 410-760-9068. That's 410-760-9068. The most important thing you can do is help us teach people about our Christian heritage and why the truth about it has been suppressed. Maybe some of you would like to get our 4-tape set on the Kennedy assassination, or what we call the Kennedy special. If you'd like to get that excellent book on Regicide, why, we carry that as well, and you can substitute that for one of the books we offer in our Kennedy special. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get a Phenopoly set for your children or grandchildren. And, of course, you get that by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, to teach your children, your grandchildren, how to read phonetically and spell and pronounce words phonetically. We hope that many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day as we reach out on shortwave, on the Internet, on the satellite, and certainly on radio stations across America. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. You'll get our, certainly, but you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is finance buying radio time on radio stations. And right now, we have about 55 outlets every week that hear at least some of the truth, the information you're not going to get on ABC, CBS, and NBC. So if you'd like, of course, to help us, the thing you can do is join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter, tell other people about our programs. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can hear our radio programs 5 hours every day and not get anything accomplished, but, well, just listen a couple of hours a day, or maybe just an hour a day, maybe to our evening programs. There are lots of programs up there that are archived, and, of course, if you go to the archives, they're kept there for about 6 weeks, and you can hear many of the fascinating interviews we've done with people. This afternoon's program will be archived, the program with Mr. Dennis. So go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, you can get a free copy of our newsletter. My March newsletter goes into the background of what really happened, what was really behind the war with Iraq, and it wasn't about oil primarily, and it wasn't about defending Israel, and it wasn't about defending the dollar. And we'll tell you the information you're not going to get elsewhere. If you'd like a free copy of our April newsletter, it goes into the background of the AIDS epidemic, and of course, we still will continue that this coming month. But of course, we want you to tell others about our website. We want you to tell them about our radio programs and just try to get them to begin listening and questioning. And if they say, well, I don't believe those things, well, get the documentation for them. Remember to get a copy of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and the Brotherhood of Darkness special. For an extensive documentation, of course, you'll want to get Professor Quigley's book and the Tragedy and Hope special. And we have so much information on sustainable development and certainly on the war with Iraq. But pray for America. Pray for revival. And then please remember, of course, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our ministry, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you again, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye. And may the Lord be with you.